superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When it comes to football, he sure is a wise'un.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Blake Shelton. Blake Shelton.
Who then admitted it's tough to rhyme with Eisen.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Dan Helley. Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Sam Amick. USC head coach Andy Enfield. Coming up, Oregon head coach Dana Altman. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Dan Helley.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Helley here with you. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo, TJ Jefferson, all here as well as we are set to kick off the third hour of this Tuesday show. This is just coming across the board. Marcus Mariota, this is the ugly part of the NFL, right? This is why players want guaranteed contracts. The Raiders just squeezed them. They allowed all these backup quarterbacks to sign in different places. Fitz, Tyrod Taylor, Trubisky, Jacoby Brissett. And he signed a two-year deal with the Raiders, but he'd already received all his guaranteed money.
Right.
They basically gave him a take-it-or-leave-it offer. So he gets a one-year deal worth $3.5 million, a chance to make up some of those incentives. But he was scheduled to make $8 million this year. So I remember when Kirk Cousins signed that deal with the Minnesota Vikings, the first one, all guaranteed.
The first of the guaranteed. It was three years for $94 million, I believe.
Right. And it was the first fully guaranteed multi-year contract for a quarterback in NFL history. And I remember talking to him after that, and I said, dude, you've changed the game. This is an NBA-style contract. You bet on yourself for 2 years on the franchise tag. You get a fully guaranteed deal. Are people calling you around the NFL, patting you on the back, saying thank you? I mean, it should be like, you know, Hail Mary to Kirk Cousins, the guaranteed contracts. He said, you know, I thought it would be more different than it's been. He said, but right after I signed my deal, Aaron Rodgers signed his, not fully guaranteed. Matt Ryan signed his, not fully guaranteed. So it kind of reverted back. The Kirk Cousins fully guaranteed deal did not change the way that the NFL did business like I thought they would. I remember Richard Sherman being perturbed by the fact that Russell Wilson didn't hold out for a fully guaranteed deal when he was coming off his rookie contract because he had all the leverage. That's when Seattle was winning Super Bowls. That's when they had the Legion of Boom. That's when Russell could have done anything he wanted, but he didn't do it. So they go for the bigger number. And generally, the difference is for quarterbacks in the NFL as opposed to any other position, when you sign a $130 million contract, a quarterback generally, if he's a top 10 guy, gets $130 million of that contract. Now, they might restructure it, but they're going to get all $130 million. Now, Kenny Golladay signs a $72 million deal. Kenny Golladay is not going to see $72 million of that deal. Never going to happen. That's why the guaranteed money is what's the most important thing. And the deal for Kirk Cousins with the guaranteed money really didn't change as much as I thought it would change. So Marcus Mariota back with the Raiders, he gets a one-year deal worth $3.5 million. That was something that we thought could move the needle a little bit. We thought that maybe Mariota, after performing well in relief of Derek Carr in that game and a half, could maybe get moved and somebody would look at him as a potential starting quarterback because that's where we're moving, right? We're moving to guys who can move in the pocket, guys who are of that ilk. And Marcus Mariota is there. You know, you forget that he got better for his first 3 years with Tennessee, and then injuries, and then performance regressed a little bit. I still think there's some gas left in the tank there with Marcus Mariota. That's my Marcus Mariota pitch. We just talked about him for 5 minutes. But I think the guaranteed contract stuff is interesting.
Totally.
I really thought Kirk Cousins was going to be a game changer
there. I kind of did too.
And it turned out not to be. But we do have some news, Brockman. What do we have, my friend?
We do. Let's hit it.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Yeah, Dan, you talked about these backup quarterbacks. One of the guys who signed and stayed put, Jameis Winston, stays in New Orleans. Got to think he's going to be the starter this year for
gotta
the Saints.
Got to stop you there. So you go New Orleans, not New Orleans.
I go New Orleans.
Why?
I've heard local New Orleans broadcasters pronounce it that way.
Impossible. Impossible.
Not impossible. I mean, I've been there, and I've watched the local news 40 years on the air. That's how they say it.
All right, hold on 1 second. Oh, this is Don Bowie, who's from New Orleans. Nolens.
All right.
All right. John Bowie, our producer right now, who's anyway, from go ahead. Go to New Orleans.
Don's been in California for 30 years.
He's Californianized.
Yeah, he hasn't been home in a while. All right. Jameis Winston talking about Drew Brees got really emotional. Real tape.
Being able to have an entire season with Drew Brees was a dream of mine. Like, and for him to put his arm around me or, you know, just give me any encouraging words after I saw the resilience, the passion, the way that he went and approached every single day. But that to even be a story, like I was touched by that because he doesn't even know how much he means to me. And my family, for real. But I'm not going to share what he shared with me. I don't even remember. But he touched me. Having a chance to play in the playoffs after, like, winning a playoff game, like, getting a chance to throw a touchdown in the playoffs. Like, I love football. That's all I've done my entire life. And someone that I look up to, that I admire, that I actually could touch, was my teammate, and I had a chance to serve him. Like, man, I'm speechless to that. Like, that really gets me emotional because I really love Drew Brees. Like, I don't think he understands. I know my wife do. I know my family do. But, yeah, I don't understand the impact that him and a lot of other quarterbacks had on me as a quarterback.
Wow. Whew, man. I hadn't seen that before.
Me neither. I was not expecting.
Did that just come out? Or has that been out for a little while?
The Saints posted that today.
That was raw, and that was real, and that makes Jameis so much more likable to me. And I always thought he's a likable kid ever since he was at Florida State. I know he's had his issues, but wow, to get that emotional about a guy that you've spent 1 year with, he must have really touched Jameis, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. What is your expectation for Jameis and the Saints coming up this year?
Well, I think it's a fascinating situation there that you have with Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. To me, there's no contest as to who's the better quarterback. It's Jameis Winston. I think he can win games with Jameis. You know, this is a guy who, yes, he had 30 interceptions in his last full year as a starter. He also threw for, you know, 5,100 yards. You throw the ball as much as he did in Tampa, you're going to have some picks. But, you know, he had 28 touchdowns, 18 picks in his second year in Tampa. He won some ball games there. He went through some – listen, I think he's matured a ton as a person. I think he's a starting caliber NFL quarterback, and I think it's a brilliant move by the Saints not just to bring him in for 1 year as essentially an apprentice to learn under Drew Brees, but to bring him back. And I think it will be a competition, as I use air quotes here for our radio viewers, in name only. I think they're going to have packages for Taysom Hill.
Sure. I mean, they did that with Drew Brees the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think Jameis is going to be the quarterback of the future there, and I think it was a very astute move for them to go out and get him. And listen, he's going to cut down on the turnovers. He's a smart guy. He has a good arm. He's been there before, and this is a guy who's motivated, by the way. He watched what happened in Tampa. They kick him to the curb. They bring in Tom Brady. They win a Super Bowl. I don't care what you say. You're going to look at that and say, man, those are my guys.
Right.
Like, maybe I could have done that, you know? So I think Jameis is going to be motivated. I think the Saints and Sean Payton were brilliant for bringing him in. And I think they got him on the cheap, and I think they're going to win games.
We had a lot of people. We had a lot of, you know, celebrity Saints fans call in and say they wish Jameis would have been starting last year.
Well, Drew, and you saw that, right? And you saw, I mean, it was time for Drew. Drew had an unbelievable career, but, you know, Drew, age gets the best of us all. And I think it's great. I root for Jameis. He's done some silly things like the eating the, I'm not even going to do
eating
that.
W's.
Eating the W's. You know, and the crab legs, and he's done just some silly, stupid stuff, and he's actually had some real legal problems as well, you know. But I think he's matured, and I think it's Jameis's time. Like, I'm buying Saint stock right now.
Talking about a guy with a big arm who can really, you know, if Sean Payton opens up this offense and lets Jameis wing it, we've seen what he can do. And I know he went 30-30 in 2019, 30 touchdowns, 30 picks. But not for now. He's taking chances. This guy can make some plays.
There's no doubt in my mind that they have the tools there offensively to do what they need to do to get to that next level. The defense is much better than, you know, it's not your old Saints defense that was just Swiss cheese. I mean, there's some playmakers on every level of that Saints defense. And, yeah, I love it. I love what they're doing. I feel like Sean Payton was very loyal to Taysom Hill. And I remember calling a Saints game Taysom's rookie year. And I was there with Chris Spielman. And we had our production meeting with Sean Payton. And he was incredibly generous with his time. And we must have been in there for 90 minutes. A lot of times with those head coaches, you generally sit down 20 minutes. Sometimes 30 minutes. But an hour and a half was a lot. He spent probably 20 minutes of that hour and a half talking about this seldom used unknown rookie named Taysom Hill and how good he could be. And you remember Taysom was going into last year a free agent and they didn't want him to go anywhere.
They did not.
But I don't believe that there were other offers on the table for $12 million a year, which is what they paid Taysom Hill. So essentially they have two guys at $12 million a year. And I think he just loved him so much as a player and a person that he wanted to make sure that he took care of him. And he's been paid now, right? He made $12 million last year. He's making $12 million this coming season. So now I don't feel like Sean Payton feels like he owes Taysom Hill anything. He's going to go with the guy that gives them the best chance to win as his every down regular starting quarterback. And in my mind, there's no question about it. It's Jameis Winston.
Here's another story, guys. Saw this morning. You heard, I think, Patrick Mahomes. A lot of guys do this. They restructure their contract, kind of help the team out, give a little cap flexibility. Well, the Packers did not do this with Aaron Rodgers last week. A source told ESPN they did pay him nearly $7 million roster bonus. They could have converted this into a signing bonus, which would have freed up some cap room. However, if they did do that, that would have pushed money to future caps, which would have been counted more against their cap in 22 and 23. Do you take this as a sign that Aaron Rodgers' days in Green Bay numbered after 2021?
I think at this point, if you're the Green Bay Packers, you let Aaron Rodgers play. You know, I don't want a repeat of the Brett Favre situation, even though that turned out well for them. I think you let Aaron Rodgers play out this current contract. How long is his current deal? He has like
at least 3 more years.
At least 3 more years. I think you let him play 3 more years, and you let Jordan Love sit.
Ooh.
And and maybe end up trading him for assets like the Patriots did with Jimmy Garoppolo. But you have Aaron Rodgers, who's how old now? 35?
He's pushing 37, I think. Hold on.
I think you're right. I think he's older than 35.
He's 37 right now.
Okay, he's 37 right now. So you get 3 years. The way that these elite quarterbacks are playing now, they play till they're 40, right? The good ones, the great ones.
Yep.
The great ones. Yeah. Matt LaFleur has won 13 games in back-to-back seasons.
Yes.
I have not looked this up, but I don't know that there's a coach, a first-time coach in NFL history, who has won 13 games in back-to-back seasons to start his career. Do you think Matt LaFleur wants to part with Aaron Rodgers? Do you think he would have won 13 games in back-to-back seasons?
George Seifert was 14-2 his first 2 years in San Francisco.
Is that right? Wow. Well, and look at that team.
They were stacked.
I mean, yeah. Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer. Like,
yeah, they were stacked. Different NFL then.
Sure.
30 years ago.
Wow. Good for George Seifert. There's old LaFleur right there. I told a story on the podcast about Matt LaFleur. Got to know him a little bit when he was in Washington. And then, of course, with the Rams here for a year with McVay, who he worked with in Washington, and then went to work for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee for a year. And the interesting thing about Matt LaFleur was he was actually a candidate for that job in Tennessee. They hired Vrabel, and then they ended up bringing Matt LaFleur in as the offensive coordinator. He leaves after 1 year to go to Green Bay, but it was his time in L.A. that I found to be the most interesting, because he had this almost like a brotherly relationship with Sean McVay. And I'm always fascinated how some of these young coaches, especially McVay, who's the youngest head coach in NFL history when he was hired by the Rams, how he dealt with older assistants and guys that he'd worked with. I mean, you're the boss. You're the CEO, right?
Boss,
and
yeah.
A lot of times when you're dealing with older guys and you're 31 years old, you know, it's not easy to make those type of decisions. But they got into, on the practice field, just a little kind of dispute, little argument, and McVay got into him pretty good. And he comes into McVay's office, and he's like, listen, man, here's my playbook. If you're going to talk to me like that again, then I'm just going to quit right now. I'm out. And McVay said, well, doesn't say anything. He said he took about 5 seconds. He goes, all right, screw it. Then we both quit. then they just started laughing, and it was all good. It was all good. So it was funny. I've been able to hear the story now from McVay and from LaFleur, but I thought that was pretty good. I mean, that's the brotherly type relationship that they've had. What a coaching tree. That I guess some people want to say it's McVay's coaching tree. It's really Mike Shanahan's coaching tree, right? Trickling down to Kyle and then McVay and then LaFleur, all on that Washington football team staff. And
what went wrong with that team?
Well,
I mean,
yeah, that was the RG3 year, the rookie year when he came in, what was just so magical, and then just everything unfolded in a hurry there in Washington. What else we have news-wise?
Okay, so saw this quote, really interesting. Corey Davis, speaking of the Titans, free agent wide receiver, of course, goes to the Jets. He said yesterday that he signed with the Jets with the understanding that Sam Darnold is going to be the team's starting quarterback in 2021. Obviously, I'm coming in with the understanding that Sam's the guy, he said. That doesn't scare me away at all. I've seen Sam do great things, and I have all the belief in him. Thoughts?
That surprise you? It doesn't really surprise me at all. I would think that...
I would think new coach.
Yeah,
just come in. You got the number two pick. Let's just roll the dice with one of these new quarterbacks.
But of course they're going to say, yeah, hey, the plan is for Sam to be the guy, right? Things could change.
Yeah.
We could end up drafting somebody, but we're not going to trade him. That's probably what he was told. Like, Sam's going to be the guy. You know, down the road that could change, but I would anticipate that. And if you're, you know, you're Corey Davis, and if you're the vast majority of these free agents, there's very few guys. Listen, you have a limited shelf life in the NFL. You're going to the team that's going to pay you the most money. And you think that if Corey Davis was told that Sam Darnold's not going to be the guy, he wouldn't have gone to the Jets if they're offering the most money? No.
Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
No, he's still there. What you got? You're
smiling
over there.
I think it's unlikely Sam's the starting quarterback.
Really?
I do.
Well, here's my question for you. Okay, so it's Luke Wilson.
Zach Wilson.
I've done that 100 times.
Amazing if Luke Wilson.
Yeah,
was
Luke Wilson turning from tight end to quarterback. I always do that for some reason. I did that like 3 times in one show. So Zach Wilson is going to be the second overall pick. BYU, quarterback, it looks like right now. Which, by the way, he was – I'm going to get the story a little bit jumbled because I just kind of glossed over this. But he was not driving Uber, but maybe delivering like Instacart or something this time last year.
Awesome. Good for him.
You know, has not had a ton of – I mean, he was being challenged for the starting quarterback job at BYU.
In a way, kind of like Mitch Trubisky in that fact, like one full year as a starting quarterback in the spotlight. Yeah,
Working with former Washington football team quarterback John Beck as his quarterback coach now, down in Huntington Beach, not far from here. But if you are the Jets, you have to be sold on Zach being the guy.
Yes.
Like, this can't be a 50-50 proposition. You have to be all in.
In my mind,
you have to be as sold on Wilson being the guy as Jacksonville sold on Trevor Lawrence being the guy. Because if you're not, you are far better off playing this season with Sam and seeing what happens there and then rolling the dice next year in the draft. Because if Sam sucks again, you're going to suck again.
Yeah, but do you want to just waste another year? And this is the first year of Robert Saleh. You got the new coaching staff, new regime, et cetera. And then it's just kind of a throwaway?
Well, I think if you're Joe Douglas, a general manager with the Jets, you need to win far more than Robert Saleh does. So I think for Joe, the pressure's on more, even though he hasn't been there that long.
Right.
You know, he's had a limited amount of success. And the one image that sticks in a lot of people's mind is, you know, him in the booth kind of like falling asleep or checking his phone or something, which is not ideal. And I think he's actually a good personnel guy. I think he's going to have success up there. I like the hire of Robert Saleh.
Yeah, I agree.
You have to be 100, and you can never be sure, but I just don't know. I just don't know if Zach Wilson is that guy. Like, it'd be different if he had the number one pick. I think they should have tried harder to get the number one pick. That's the end of the story, right?
Bottom line.
You should have done a better job. They beat the Rams.
They somehow came out here and beat the Rams.
That's true.
I still can't believe it.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that, Jets?
All right, one last piece of video before we get to Dana Altman. Talking about restructuring contracts, Chiefs made a lot of moves. You know, Kelce and Mahomes restructured. One guy who didn't, though, Tyreek Hill. Did you see this? He talked to a local Fox station about that decision.
You know what, believe this or not, like, I ain't going to get too much details on it. You know, the Chiefs did ask me to restructure, but, I mean, me and my family, like, we just thought that wasn't the best situation for me, you know. So it is what it is. Like, I'm just, like I said, I'm just here to play football, you know. Like, I just let my family and my agent deal with all that, because I feel like if I get into that, and then all the fun will be taken out of it for me, you know. So I just want to play ball.
Gotcha. So you just assume not contract?
I just don't get into all that. Once I sign, I'm signed. No, I don't want to get into that no more because it's a hassle.
That is keeping it real.
I completely understand where he's coming from.
Absolutely.
Because it is a one-way street with contracts in the NFL. When a team is done with a player and done with the guaranteed money, they are absolutely free to move on. However, you like to think that if you scratch my back, I scratch yours, that type of situation, right? So you restructure your contract, and I believe Tyreek is the highest paid receiver in the NFL right now, or right near the top. Let's look this up right here. But Tyreek's making around $18 million a year, I believe. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a tough stance to take.
Fifth round pick. Obviously, when he signed originally. Yeah, on the real cheap for them. And so he cashed in. He's performed. He's one of the top wide receivers in the game. I don't blame him one bit for saying, yeah, you know what? I'm good. I signed this deal. I'm going to get my money.
Yeah, I think he can do that once.
Especially when your quarterback just got $500 million. I know he's restructuring.
Right.
But, like, yeah.
Yeah, but in the whole scheme of things, when you're restructuring a contract, and you're not always taking less.
You're not
restructuring
less
does not mean taking a pay cut.
But it's taking less now.
Yeah. Does that matter?
Maybe if you're Tyreek Hill, it matters.
I mean, if you're buying Top Shots, it matters.
It matters.
Yeah. You want that now.
If you're buying Top Shots,
baseball cards, it matters. You want that now.
If I had that money now, like, my Panini would have just jumped through the roof. But I didn't have that money now, Dan.
You guys are such card nerds. I love it. I didn't know you were doing a card nerd show.
We just need a Panini hookup. If somebody works there, please contact Brockman or myself. We just have questions.
Tyreek Hill, $18 million a year. He's tied with Kenny Golladay for the sixth highest paid receiver in the NFL. The highest paid receiver right now by average annual salary.
Is it Julio?
DeAndre Hopkins, $27 million a year.
Hey, now.
Julio's right behind him at 22. And then Keenan Allen and Amari Cooper are third and fourth at $20 million a year.
Those guys are worth it.
You know, those guys are pretty decent.
Hey, and the other thing, too, is you have to know when you have leverage, right?
Yep.
And Tyreek Hill has leverage. So if he's not going to restructure, what are the Chiefs going to do? They're not letting go of Tyreek Hill.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's not happening.
No.
You know what is? You know what is happening? Dana Altman
Booyah.
Is happening. Coming up in just a moment on the Rich Eisen Show, Dan Helly filling in. Dana Altman, head coach of the University of Oregon, on the other side.
Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep, because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Helly here with you. Love all those little clips, those old interviews air on Peacock.
So fun.
So we had Andy Enfield on, waiting for Dana Altman, Oregon head coach, to be on here in just a few minutes. We're looking at this. We're talking about the odds here for the NCAA tournament as we have our Sweet 16, which is set. We have three number one seeds. We have a slew of double-digit seeds. We have two teams from right here in Los Angeles in the Sweet 16. We have four Pac-12 teams, and we have one Big Ten team. So give me a non-number one seed. We're going to start with Del Tufo. I feel like we always start with Brock.
Come on, Mike.
On your screen right now, Del Tufo. I know you're always dealing with the audio.
I got to go to my. All right.
Wait, give me a non-number one seed that has a chance to win it all.
Brockman? You start.
Syracuse.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's a good one.
They were supposed to lose after that first game.
We shouldn't even have made it.
They shouldn't even have made it.
But that's what you do, though. It's the third time you've made the Sweet 16 as a double-digit seed.
It's what we've done lately.
You could win a game in the ACC this year. It was weird.
It was a rough.
I mean, I have no rough with saying Syracuse.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right, Brockman,
let's throw some money down.
Now, where do you go?
50-1 right now.
Oh, wow.
You know what? The Pac-12 has been really impressive. I think the winner of USC-Oregon has a chance to go on a run and win the whole thing.
Wow.
I just like the way offensively they've looked. It doesn't seem like they're scoring in the high 80s and 90s. That's kind of tough to slow down. Watch some of these other games. The final score was 58-50 or whatever. It's right. Pac-12 explosive, USC, if they can get by, you know, they've got a top two pick in the draft. I mean, obviously that, you know, if you have the best player, look no further than Syracuse, Carmelo Anthony, 2003. If you have the best player, that can take you to a championship.
Yeah, I like Alabama. I like the way that Alabama plays. They get up and down the floor quick. They shoot the three well. I'm a little jaded because I'm an SEC fan, as you guys know.
Yep.
TJ, is there one that stands out to you, buddy?
I mean, you know, I've got Bama going to my Final Four.
I like that.
I think that if I had to have a non-number one pick, it would probably have to be the Tide.
Yeah. Don't sleep on Houston either, man.
Yeah, I'm kind of, it's hard for me to admit this, but I'm kind of rooting for Syracuse just because even though we're not, it's still like, to me, that's still the old school Big East.
Yeah.
And that's like,
I know, it is,
what
it
I
is
grew
to
up
me too.
On, so.
It's weird for me still because I don't live there anymore to see Maryland in the Big Ten.
That's so weird.
I mean, they're an ACC team to me. Yeah. It's weird for me to say Syracuse is in the ACC.
It's still weird for me too.
Yeah, no, those are good ones. I'm a little perplexed. I think it's Gonzaga and everybody else. I mean, you can maybe throw Baylor in there too, right? For the entire season, it was Gonzaga, Baylor, and then everybody else. And now I believe it's Gonzaga and everybody else. And Baylor's, I mean, a close second, but
kind of like what we talked about yesterday. As we get further along and closer to the Final Four, the pressure is only going to mount on the Zags to finish this thing and complete the first undefeated season in what, 45 years? So. Yeah, that's a tall task. That's a tall to ask, you know, ask 18, 19-year-old kids.
But does it get any easier if they have a loss? I mean, do you think they're thinking about that? I mean, you're hearing about that.
How could you not think about being
undefeated? You're hearing
about
it during the week, right? When you're in this bubble and you're not doing anything in the perfect season and trying to make history. But I wonder how much that actually affects players on the floor, right?
The 40 minutes while the game's going on, maybe not, but... I don't know how it couldn't affect you. That's all anyone's talking about nonstop. I mean, just look at the Patriots in 2007.
Yeah.
I mean, it affected them week 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way up until the end.
Well, and I think it's something that we in the media will consistently harp on and ask about. And it's why you don't want a locker room distraction, right? Because you don't want to answer questions that have nothing to do with the game.
Right.
But this has to do actually with the game. It has to do with the team. It has to do with the product on the court. They're going to be hard to beat. Creighton's going to have their hands full.
They're going to be hard to beat.
With Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. I'm just looking here at the screen at Alabama's Pro Day, and I'm thinking about that conversation that we had a little bit earlier about a 170-pound receiver in the NFL. And I'm
no, you're not sold.
I'm sold on him, but I'm not sold on him being 170 pounds. I actually want to see what he really weighs in. I think he could be closer to 160.
Oh,
I think he could
you think it's
slighter.
Less? You think it's one of those like roundup situations?
Well, I think he's like, hey guys, I'm 170. You know,
did you do that in high school when you played?
Of course,
yeah,
who
absolutely,
doesn't?
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of people think I still do that now. I'm 6 feet on the button, right there, 6 feet. Maybe.
I mean, I gained a half inch and at least 7 pounds every year I played sports in high school.
You did what? You would add 7? What did you say?
I think by the end, I think my senior year for football, I was 6'1", 195.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, was, you just want to look bigger on the, you know, when the other team's scouting, they're looking at the rock.
Of course.
6'1", 195.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, you know, we would always make fun of Willie McGinnis because he would have the huge shoulder pads. You know, they don't do that anymore, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at like Michael Bennett, doesn't really wear shoulder pads. But that was me, dude. I had the neck roll, the huge pads,
the best.
You know, the mirrored visor.
The best.
I had to have it all. Yeah, Devontae Smith, I don't know. I'll be curious to see. Maybe it's 168 pounds, but I don't think it's going to matter for him. I'm trying to remember the name of the receiver.
I don't think it's going to matter either.
Called the game in Arizona with Brady Quinn. It was Kyler's first year, so it was Kyler's rookie year. And they had a receiver who was the slightest-looking human being I have ever seen play in an NFL game. He went on to play for the Patriots. So he was with – I'm looking this up right now as I'm talking. And he must have weighed 150 pounds. And he was – obviously, he was a speed merchant. He was fast.
Sure. Arizona to the Patriots.
Arizona depth chart. Yeah, and then he played with Cam in Carolina before that.
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, DJ has Devontae Smith 14th to the Vikings. Like they need another superstar SEC receiver.
Well, this receiver class is sick, man.
Yeah, he's got Jalen Waddle, who obviously missed most of the year from Alabama, his teammate, going one pick ahead of him, 13th to the Chargers. Like Justin Herbert needs another superstar receiver to throw to.
I love what Justin Herbert did this year. I just wonder if we have set the bar the bar a little too high for himself.
You buying the hype on Justin Herbert?
Yeah, I think he's going to be good, but I think we could see a regression in year two, and then maybe he pops back up. I mean, for me, Joe Burrow has the higher ceiling. I think Herbert's going to be really good. He played so well. I mean, it didn't translate into wins.
No, but he was playing great. He was starting to get that relationship with T. Higgins down. They were starting to really connect.
Yeah, no, he was phenomenal.
Okay, so Justin Herbert set the rookie touchdown mark, right? He had 31-10 this year. Baker Mayfield had it at 27 and then regressed his second year to 22. So you think, let's go over under 26 touchdowns for Justin Herbert this year.
I'm going to go under. I think Herbert's going to be, it's going to be a confluence of events, but I just think he played so well as a rookie. And I think what happened is, this is what happened a little bit at Oregon, is he started kind of aiming. And that's what DJ always talked about going into the draft. Like, he's maybe thinking a little too much. He didn't even know he was starting that first game for Tyrod Taylor. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he took the shot in the ribs and it was right before game time? And Herbert just went in and he was just slinging. And I feel like that's what he did most of the year, where he didn't just really think he played. And that's when you play your best, is when you're not overthinking everything. So anyway, we'll see what happens with Justin Herbert. Promise Dane Altman coming up. He's going to be here in just a moment on the Rich Eisen Show. It's Dan Helley filling in for Rich. Oregon head coach Dana Altman is up next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Dan Helley filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. As we are getting ready to wrap things up, last quarter hour of our show. Still waiting to see if we can get Oregon head coach Dana Altman. Hopefully we're able to secure him today before the end of the show. I know he's a very busy man as his Ducks are in the Sweet 16. Rich, of course, out this week tomorrow. Guest host is going to be Ryan Leaf on the show. Golf clap for Ryan Leaf. Hit me up on Twitter today. Ryan did. Very nice dude. Looking forward to listening to him. He's been in before.
Absolutely. He's been in here. Yeah, he's guest hosting.
I believe Ryan just started his own podcast. He'll be talking about that, I'm sure. We've been talking a lot about NFL free agency with Mike Florio and Peter King over the last few days. I mentioned that the smallest player I have ever seen in person on a football field, the receiver I was talking about who played for Carolina, Arizona, and then the Patriots, was Damier Byrd. Played his college ball at South Carolina. 5'9", 180 is what he's listed at. If he weighs 180, I am 6'5", and 120, because that's not possible. Anyway, very, very small guy there. We talked earlier with Mike Florio about some of the best remaining free agents kind of on the board, and I thought it was really interesting. in a discussion with Mike Tannenbaum 2 weeks ago that Tannenbaum said, listen, there's going to be so many quality free agents out there 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even a month into free agency. He said, I think I could build a playoff team with the free agents that are on the market 2 to 3 weeks into free agency. Well, it hasn't gone quite as expected. I think it's slimmer pickings than we originally would have thought. Because as you look at the guys who are left out there, there's a little, nobody's perfect, right? Well, and if they were perfect, they probably wouldn't be free agents. But most of them, maybe a little long in the tooth, they're coming off injuries. Just going through this list here, right? You got a couple of edge rushers. You got Justin Houston, 8 sacks last year. He's coming off an injury, though, 32 years old. Jadeveon Clowney, 0 sacks, 8 games,
oof,
injury. The guy I kind of like, who also is coming off an injury, and he's also 32, is Melvin Ingram. I think Melvin Ingram still has some gas left in the tank. But the most interesting by far to me is Jadeveon Clowney. Signed along with Vic Beasley in Tennessee, expected to give the Titans some much-needed pass rush help. Did not do that. Did not record a single sack. And again, we play this age game. How old do you think Jadeveon Clowney is?
Wow. So he was the first overall pick in, let's say, 2014, maybe? So he's probably 28.
28 on the button.
Yeah.
Yep. 28 on the button.
Wow.
And he's one of those guys that turned down a contract that was not up to his standards, waited for a new deal, signed a one-year deal for $12 million, bet on himself, and now he's out there. And he's out there, and he's an edge rusher who has unbelievable physical skills and is constantly demanding double teams. Remember doing a game when Frank Gore played for the Colts, and he came on set on our NFL Network postgame show, and he literally couldn't breathe. He had trouble forming a sentence because he was so tired. I said, what's going on? He goes, man, blocking Clowney coming off the edge was tough. The guy's a monster. We are now joined by the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Dana Altman, as promised. Coach, thank you so much. I know you're a busy man, got a lot going on. Thanks for joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. This is Dan Helley.
Glad to be a part of it, Dan.
Well, congratulations once again to making it to the Sweet 16. This is nothing new for you. You have been here before. You've been to the Elite Eight. You've been to the Final Four. What's different about this team?
Well, we've got unique pieces this year, Dan. We're starting, you know, 5 guys that are all 6'5", 6'6", and, you know, we can really spread teams out. We have had some difficulties guarding inside, which will create big problems with USC with their size, and created problems last night with Iowa. But this team, you know, can get it going offensively. When they do, they're tough to guard. We've got all 5 guys that start can shoot the three. All 5 can put it on the floor and make plays. So we're a unique team offensively, and defensively we try to change things up a lot so that people can't take advantage of their size against us. But been a fun group to work with. We've gone through injuries. We've gone through the COVID. We lost our postman, who was a great player, Infali Dante, the sixth game of the year to ACL injury, which made us go small, and the guys have adjusted well.
Well, the number that really stood out to me was not the number everybody was talking about when you guys beat Iowa and put 95 points up on the board and 56 in the first half. It was the 25 assists. The ball movement, you must have been elated. I know you guys have done that throughout the season, but you've never put 95 points up on a board, and I don't know that you've had 25 assists in a game. Maybe you have, but you look fantastic.
Dan, you're right. I was really proud of the guys. The ball movement last night was the best we've had. We were beating them off penetration. The help would come. We'd kick it out. We hit 11 threes because we took good threes, and the ball movement was really good, and that's something that's critical to our success. I keep emphasizing it to the guys that, you know, when we've been successful in ball games, it's because of the ball movement, the shot selection. You know, we are a good defensive team, not a great defensive team, but a good defensive team, and we've just got to make sure that we move the ball, and we've got 5 guys who are averaging in double figures, so we've got to pick out the weak defender and try to take advantage of it.
What are the numbers? You talk about the ball movement. You had 25 assists. You mentioned the 11 threes. You also had 10 dunks in the game. What are you going to be putting up there on the whiteboard in your pregame speech to the guys? If we do this, this, and this against USC, then we're going to take this game.
Well, the first thing is we got to rebound the ball. With their size, you know, they're a very good rebounding team. And so, you know, we can't be giving up second and third shots. They played very well against Kansas last night, if you caught that game. And we're going to have to make sure that we don't give them any second shots. When we lost to them in L.A., they got off to a great start hitting threes. So defending the three, Dan, will be really important to us. You know, so they've got a great balance inside out. Obviously, the Mobley brothers inside give them a 1-2 punch inside. Their guards can all shoot the three. So very tough defensive assignment, but we just can't let them go crazy from three like they did in the first ballgame.
So we had you originally scheduled for a little bit earlier in the show, but you were on the phone with a relatively important person that you were talking to right before this?
Absolutely. No, Chris Duarte, our off guard, is up for the very prestigious Jerry West Award. He's one of the five finalists, and, you know, obviously I'm very biased, but he's my guy, and you know, I'm sure glad for him, and he's honored that he's being considered for the award because all five of the guys are very deserving. But again, he's my guy, and I'm hoping that he wins that award. Peyton Pritchard, who was our point guard last year, won the Bob Cousy Award. And, you know, this is a very prestigious award for off guards, and we're sure hoping that Chris wins.
Dan Helly filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show, talking to Dana Altman, head coach at Oregon. You mentioned Chris Duarte, 23 points last night. Listen, you've been at Oregon for 11 seasons, had tremendous success, five Sweet 16s. You've been to a couple Elite Eights, a Final Four. Where does Chris rank among the players that you've coached at Oregon?
Well, he's right at the top. I mean, we've been very fortunate. You go all the way back, DeVoe Joseph was a Pac-10 player that was all conference. Dylan Brooks, Jordan Bell, Chris Boucher, you know, Peyton Pritchard, we've had some really good ones. And, you know, Chris was runner-up player of the year in the coaches' vote to Mobley. But he was the AP player of the year in the Pac-12. He's played through injury. His efficiency numbers, Dan, are off the chart. He's 53% from the field, 42% from three, and 80% from the line. Rebounds, five rebounds a game. He was on the all-defensive team. You know, so he's an all-around very good player. He was a junior college All-American, and his 2 years with us will be the Pac-12 champs both years, you know, and hopefully we can continue playing. We got a tough one against USC on Sunday, and hopefully we can move on to the Elite Eight.
You got to keep everybody focused. You got to keep these guys loose. What are you doing for the next few days when you guys aren't on the practice court? It's obviously a different situation this year in the tournament. What are you doing to keep these guys entertained? And how do you keep from over-scheduling? That's what I always wonder as a head coach. You don't want to do too much, but you want to keep them active and busy, right?
Dan, this is a unique situation here. You know, we've got 5 days before we play now. And we are set here on the 14th floor of the Marriott, and we're not able to go anywhere. So it is very different for our guys and different for our coaching staff. We've never had anything. Usually you have a team hotel and you got all the parents in and, you know, the band, the cheerleaders, everybody's around. You got fans and it's kind of a festive atmosphere. But now it's just real quiet and everybody has their own floor. They've got all 16 teams here in the Marriott and, you know, everybody's just waiting to play on Saturday and Sunday. So it's going to be a long 4 or 5 days for everybody, but I, you know, we're going to the zoo today, Dan, to try to do something different and, you know, just try to get outside a little bit. And we didn't do much for practice. We played yesterday, and we don't play again till Sunday. So even after today, we'll have 4 days to prepare for USC. And so just trying to gauge the guys. you know.
I love. Hey, Coach, I got a heart out here. I love it. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Dan Helly filling in on the Rich Eisen Show.